Today on Bold Steps, Mark Jobe has some clear biblical advice on how to take your prayer life to the next level.
This is prayer 3.0. This is intentional, spirit-filled, powerful, life-transformative prayer. It's the kind that redirects your calling, your purposes. It can literally transform your life.
Welcome to Bold Steps with Pastor Mark Jobe. Mark is president of Moody Bible Institute, and he's senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. I'm Wayne Shepherd. You know, prayer is something that many Christians know they ought to do and often want to do, but when it comes to passionate, effective, authentic prayer, many of us have questions. Thankfully, the Bible has some clear and powerful guidance on what real prayer really looks like. Today, Mark is continuing his message all about the habit of prayer. If you missed the first two segments of this message, let me encourage you to catch up when you can by going to our website at boldstepsradio.org. Now, let's join Mark for today's message, The Habit of Prayer on Bold Steps.
Let me just bring it down to a practical level. Say someone is praying for a job. They're saying, Lord, I need this job, the right job. Someone says, oh, good. How's the application process going? Application process? Yeah, well, aren't you praying for a job? Yeah, I'm praying. Well, aren't you applying for jobs? No, I'm just praying. Well, how do you expect to get a job? Well, I don't know. I'm just praying. God, give me a job. So some of us kind of think that we pray and someone's going to show up at our door and say, hey, by the way, I just had a feeling that maybe there was someone that lived in this place that was looking for a job. And so I'm just walking by, thought I'd knock on this door that maybe you're looking for a job. No, you know what? If you ask, then expect that answer is coming. So you seek. The way you seek is you put in job applications. And you start exploring the options. What option do you have, God? I'm putting applications. I'm seeking. I'm pursuing. It's the concept of pursuing. So I'm putting job. I'm asking that God will lead me. But I'm putting in job applications because I'm pursuing. I have my eyes open to see what God is going to do. And then I am actually knocking at doors. And some doors are closing. And some doors are opening. And as I ask, as I seek, and as I knock, God answers my prayer because he's involved in aligning the process. But some doors are going to close and some doors are going to open. And you need to pray that God would guide you through the process. And by the way, in prayer, can I tell you that it's not just you imposing your will upon God? As you pray, God starts to impress upon you and change you in prayer so that your desires start to match the heart and the desires of God, so that when you pray, you find that your desires are matched up more with more God's desires. Because sometimes you come to God in the flesh and God has to start to change your desires so that your desires will be more in line with God's desires and his will and your will match up together and you find your prayers being answered. Amen? And by the way, when the Bible says, he who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks the door will be open, it doesn't always mean that you get everything that you want. Hello? Sometimes what you want is not what's best for you. In fact, sometimes what you want would be the worst thing in your life for you. When my kids were small, I would be working on something with my toolbox open, and they would like, I want the scissors, a screwdriver. Like, no, you can't. I want it. And no, you can't have this right now. Because I know that it could hurt them. Now, they don't know that yet. They want it. But as a parent, I know this could hurt them, and I don't want them to have it right now. When they're old enough, maybe they can have it, but not right now. Some of you are incredibly blessed that God did not answer the prayer that you prayed. Has that ever happened to you? You're like, whoa, Jesus, thank you for not saying yes to that answer to prayer. That would have been a mess in my life. But at the time, you're disappointed. At the time, you don't know. But God doesn't always answer. But God doesn't always answer yes, but God always answers our prayer. Number three, the expectation of prayer. And we'll close with this. Listen, verse 11. Which of you fathers, if your son asks you for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks you for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Now, Jesus is continuing on his dialogue about prayer. And he says, listen, I want you to know that God is good. And that God wants to answer your prayer, but he's looking out for your good. So sometimes we have this idea, and I run into people that have this sort of warped idea that God is really trying to make your life difficult. That you say, oh, like a son says, Dad, can I have an egg? And the father says, yeah, here's a rock. Let's see what he does with that. No, that's just sick. That's not the way that God works. God is not there trying to make your life difficult. God is not there trying to make your life sour. God is not trying to give you something bad when you're asking for something good. That is not the heart of God. God is good. God is for you. God desires you to walk and live in joy, but God also is protecting you and watching out for your good. So I want you to know, I want you to understand, God is good. And he says, maybe you understand, you're fallen. We have an evil nature inside. We have evil inside of us, and we like to give our kids good gifts. How much more your heavenly Father, who has no evil to him, how much more do you think he would delight in giving his children good gifts? And then he says this. Listen to what he says. If you then are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He said, the Holy Spirit? I mean, I want a house, not the Holy Spirit. I'm praying for a husband, not the Holy Spirit. What's the Holy Spirit have to do with all this? Ah. See, the Holy Spirit is key in teaching you how to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 through 27 says, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to do. The Holy Spirit helps us, talking about prayer, because we don't know how to pray sometimes. How many of you sometimes have been in a situation you say, I don't even know how to pray? A 93-year-old struggling with Alzheimer's is on their deathbed with a machine hooked up to them. And you're there beside them, and you don't know how to, you don't know if to pray, God, take them peacefully and quickly, or God, resurrect them so they can live another couple of years. I've had many people call me in those situations and say, Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Am I praying for healing, or am I praying for a quick, peaceful departure? How do I pray? The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. Romans tells us that the Spirit searches the heart of God, and the Spirit intercedes for God's people according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, he knows the heart of God and he knows the heart of man. So when you don't know what to pray, the Holy Spirit, who is the coach, the helper, the teacher, The Greek word is paraklete, which means our advocate. When there's a victim that is struggling to make their way through the system, we have advocacy programs. The advocate helps them make their way through the complicated system because they need someone to help them in a court system or help them with education. It's an advocacy. Or a coach, or a helper, and or a counselor. And so what the Bible says is when you don't know what to pray or how to pray, God gives you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your coach, your helper, the internal guide. He's the one that's there empowering you to pray to the Father. You say, well, I don't know how to approach the Father. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit says out of your lips, says, Abba, Father. The Holy Spirit gives you the sense that you're a son or a daughter. The Holy Spirit guides you with promptings. The Holy Spirit gives you burdens when you don't know how to pray. The Holy Spirit prays with you and through you when you're not even sure how to pray, what to say, how to go about it, because He is your coach. He's your guide.
This is Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and we'll continue this lesson on the habit of prayer in just a moment. Before we do, we want to remind you that if you ever miss one of our daily teachings on the radio, or you simply want to share one of these messages with a friend, you can always find Mark's teachings available on our website, boldstepsradio.org. And if you'd enjoy listening to these Bible teachings while you're out for a walk or really anywhere on the go, be sure to subscribe to the Bold Steps podcast. You'll find us on most podcast apps like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Audible by searching for Bold Steps with Dr. Mark Jobe. And by the way, we've heard from so many of you how much you enjoy listening through your podcast app. So if you haven't already, we encourage you to leave a comment and 5-star review when you're there. And then be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and even YouTube now, where you'll find bonus content from Mark, including our YouTube series, What Does the Bible Say About?, covering topics like grief, living in unfair circumstances, and finding gratitude in your life. You can subscribe today by searching for Bold Steps Radio on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Once again, here's Mark Jobe now with today's message, The Habit of Prayer.
You go to pray sometimes, and I've had this happen to me at times, and suddenly I'm praying and God will bring a face to my mind, and I've not even thought of that person. That person's not even in the Lord's Prayer category that I'm praying, and I'll pray for that person. And then later on, call that person and say, you know, I was praying, God brought you to my mind, everything okay? And they'll say, I can't believe you prayed for me because I'm going through. And they'll tell me, and I know what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit goes throughout all this congregation. He goes throughout the earth. The Holy Spirit knows what you're going through right now. You may think there's no one in the world that knows what I'm going through. I'm all alone. But you may not know that God has put on that person over there or that person over there. Or someone in Africa may be praying for you by name. I'm praying for Merche. Don't even know what Merche means. Don't even heard Merche. But I'm praying for Merche right now. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is connecting people together, causing people to pray for people, because the Holy Spirit is our coach. He's our paraclete. He's our empower. He's the guide. He's the one that teaches us what to pray, how to pray, when to pray. He gives us burdens. You may start out and have a real light prayer day, and suddenly you find yourself on your face weeping before God, and you say, why am I weeping? Why is this happening? The Holy Spirit is saying, I need an intercessor right now to intercede heavily and powerfully for this thing. This is prayer 3.0. This is not our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. This is intentional, spirit-filled, powerful, life-transformative prayer. It's the kind that changes the world. It's the kind that alters the destiny of your children. It's the kind that fixes marriages. It's the kind that opens up doors. It's the kind that redirects where you live, your calling, your purposes. It can literally transform your life. Because it's not shallow, superficial repetition of a memorized prayer. It's spirit-led, spirit-empowered. How does it work? The Holy Spirit teaches you how to pray. Jesus the Christ, the second person of the Godhead, gives you access through his blood and his forgiveness to the central room of the universe called the throne of God. You can't get into the throne room of God unless you get in through what Jesus has done. That's why when we pray in Jesus' name. That's not just something we add at the end of our prayer. We're saying, I don't have access to you, God, except through Jesus. He is my mediator, the one who's washed me, cleansed me. He gives me access to the Father. The Holy Spirit teaches me what to pray, and God the Father answers my prayer. Are you tracking with what I'm telling you here today? It tells us in this passage that he gives the Holy Spirit to those that ask. I believe that there's people here that this message is going to send you on a journey of learning to pray like you've never prayed before. It's a journey. You don't get it overnight. But some of you are going to become prayer warriors, legitimate prayer warriors, because you were introduced to something more than a memorized prayer or a ritual. You started to understand the spiritual world and what prayer was all about. You started to embrace the Lord's Prayer, but understood the role that the Holy Spirit prays. And some of you are going to be transformed. You're going to go from shallow, superficial sort of Christianity to a much more in-depth, empowered Christianity because you've learned how to pray. Over and over in the Bible, hundreds of verses in the Bible, pray without ceasing, pray under duress, pray in your tribulation, pray for this, pray for those that are burdened, pray. Pray, 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 pray is all in Scripture, but yet we pray so little and we pray so shallow at times because we haven't known how to pray. I'm challenging you to pray 4 days, the Lord's Prayer. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know if my knees can handle it. You don't have to kneel. You can be driving your car and praying. On the expressway. You say, well, Pastor, people are going to think I'm crazy. Hey, you know how many crazy people I pass on the expressway? They're like talking, screaming. Some of them are dancing like, yeah. I'm like, hey, there's a lot of crazies out there. We might as well be crazy for Jesus. They don't know what you're saying. Just drive your car. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You are good. Praise God. And people are going to look at you like maybe they think you're, you know, jamming out too. I don't know. You can drive. You can exercise and pray. You can walk and pray. Put it into the rhythm of what you do. Learn the power, the habit of engaging in the kind of prayer that transforms your life, brings you into a closer relationship with Jesus, and actually can have reverberating effects on the world that's around you. I'm challenging you to pray like you've never prayed before. So as we close this time together, that's our third challenge. First challenge, your identity. Declare who you are in God. I'm forgiven. I'm washed. I'm a child of the Most High God. There is no condemnation upon me because those that are in Christ Jesus have no condemnation. I have a destiny and a purpose. God knows my name. I am sealed into the day of redemption. No accusation hurled against me can stand the blood of Jesus. I stand washed and forgiven and cleansed before him. Oh, I'm not perfect, but my Savior is perfect, and he's paid the price for me. Yeah, that's your identity. Then open up the Word of God and start reading it. One chapter, speak to me, Lord, as I read your word. My heart is open. My spirit wants to learn from you. I read the word of God. I may not understand everything that I'm reading, but I'm praying that I grow in understanding. Open up the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God and let it speak to your heart. And then engage in Jesus-style prayer. I'm talking about the habits that transform you. Your personal, daily habits that make you into a solid Jesus follower beyond just simply attending church on Sunday and listening to a message. I'm talking about the habits that change you, shape you, transform you. I'm talking about a strong, vibrant, resilient type of church, because there's people that engage in the habits that make them stronger.
And so maybe you've been a believer for a while and you say, I feel like my spiritual life is just anemic or a little bit weak. And chances are that your weakness has a direct correlation to your habits. And I know that as a follower of Jesus, your heart is, Lord, I want to get into the Word of God every day. I want to pray. But our habit sometimes is very different than what our heart wants. And so I want to challenge you to take on this challenge of developing the habit of praying the Lord's Prayer through the Lord's Prayer every day. It may take you 10 minutes, it may take you a half hour, but whatever the time frame is, I want to challenge you to embrace the habit of praying Jesus' pattern of prayer. And Father, I pray for that person right now that is struggling, that feels anemic spiritually, that feels prone to the flesh, that person that feels like, hey, my fire has died down. I pray in Jesus' name that you would give them the conviction, the courage, the motivation, the draw of your spirit to say, Lord, I will begin to implement a daily habit of getting into your presence in prayer and praying the way that Jesus taught me to pray. So I pray that for our listeners right now in Jesus' name, amen.
Mark, thank you so much. This has been so very helpful today. You are listening to Bold Steps with Mark Jobe, and I remind you, you can find today's message online and share it with a friend by going to boldstepsradio.org. Now, Mark, in today's lesson, you touched on the importance of identity and standing firm in who we are as children of God so that we can step forward in action and prayer. But don't you think that many people today are struggling with the intersection between their personal identity in Christ and their public position in the world? So as we grow with God, grow in our connection with God, how should that affect our connection with society as a whole?
Yeah, there's a lot of people right now that feel the turn of our culture. And oftentimes you feel like what maybe you could say 20 years ago, 10 years ago, now it seems to bring a visceral reaction in people as we talk, especially about things like human sexuality, abortion, marriage. And I believe that God wants us to be firm in our conviction, but also gracious in our interactions. Mm-hmm. And so a friend of ours, a dear friend of ours here at the Moody Bible Institute and at Moody, his name is Pastor Erwin Lutzer.
Love this man.
And many of you have heard his preaching over the years, and he's been just right down the street from Moody Bible Institute at Moody Church. He's pastor emeritus right now. But he wrote a book called We Will Not Be Silenced. And this is a challenge to Christians not to allow the shift in our culture to silence our voices.
You talk about a bold step. He's taking a bold step and asking us to take this challenge too.
He is. And so if you've wrestled with how do I engage, how do I talk, what is happening here that I feel like I need to be silenced, I think this book, We Will Not Be Silenced by Erwin Lutzer, will give you the courage to say there's times that you need to stand up and speak graciously, lovingly, but you need to engage in our culture because the voice of the gospel and what we represent cannot and should not be silenced.
We will send you a copy of We Will Not Be Silenced when you make a donation of any amount to Bold Steps. Just go online to boldstepsradio.org or give us a call at 800-356-6639. That's 1-800-DL-MOODY. You can also send your gift and request the book through the mail. Address your envelope to Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. By the way, you can mail any questions or feedback you have for Mark to that same address. We really do love hearing from our listeners, and if you've never done so before, we encourage you to take a moment today and simply let us know you're listening. You can send a handwritten letter through the mail or use the Ask a Question link on our website. That's boldstepsradio.org. Or call us and leave your message on a recorded line by dialing 312-329-2011. Call us at 312-329-2011. Well, that's our time for today. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Tomorrow, Mark will continue challenging us to grow faith-building habits by exploring the spirit of generosity. Join us as we discover the reaping and sowing principle Friday on Bold Steps with Mark Jobe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.